Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Stars podcast. I'm your host, Kenneth Nash, joining you here on this Wednesday. You're going to hear this a little bit later in the day. Some of you may hear this Thursday a little bit later in the afternoon post. But we are here on this Wednesday. The Dallas Stars season is over, and we all feel empty inside. And I think that's the only way to put it, right? We're just going to sit here in silence for this entire episode and just reflect on what this year has been. Where we went wrong, where we got our hopes up, and where eventually our hopes came crashing down. Not really. On today's episode, talk a little bit about some of that stuff we got from some of these exit interviews, end of the season interviews from players, some stuff from Jamie Benn, some stuff from Anton Udobin, some stuff from Rick Bonus. It was all around. We're going to just kind of bring it up and kind of fly through that stuff. I talked about that we were going to do who you should root for in the postseason as a Dallas Stars fan. I'm going to hold off on that. I think we're going to do that Monday just so we can, you know, because there's this weird thing where the playoffs start later this, like at the end of this weekend, but the regular season's still going on. Two after that, which makes it really strange the Dallas Stars had to play as condensed a schedule as they did. We're going to get into that too. Why are the Dallas Stars done and there's still regular season hockey games being played? Why did the Stars have to end regardless? Well, that's for another. We'll talk about that a little bit, but we'll do that. We'll do the what team should you root for this postseason. I may reach out to a couple other Locked On hosts. I maybe like narrow it down to three and then have those three hosts come on and maybe make their case to you as to why you should root for them as a Dallas Stars fan. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app in the iOS App Store. Find one of our Locked On Locker Rooms. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. All right, we'll go ahead and dive right into it. Obviously, there was some exit interview stuff here over the past couple of days. You may hear me typing on my keyboard using a different kind of mic setup today, so hopefully that didn't come through too much. But some different kind of exit there. We saw some interview stuff come through over the past couple of days, some interesting comments. I just want to kind of fly through those, touch on a few of those, maybe a little bit shorter episode today. Well, we're going to kind of finish out this week, and the next week we hit it hard with the off-season content, playoffs, end of the year kind of evaluations, deep dives on players, everything like that. We'll start all that kind of next week. So we're just going to kind of fly through the end of this week. But I do want to look at some of the end of the season kind of exit interview kind of things. We saw some interviews yesterday. We saw some interviews. We also saw some interviews today and some comments today. Today, we'll start with today's because it was some of today's stuff was really, really interesting. Anton Udobin was kind of the big comment today. Miro Heiskanen and Anton Udobin made some comments today. Starting with Anton Udobin, he was asked about the expansion draft, which is something that I've talked about a lot on this show, is that Anton Udobin is going to be at least front and center in this expansion draft. Now, whether he's the one that actually goes, which we'll dive into expansion draft content later on in the offseason, but whether he's the one that actually gets moved, I don't know. I almost think it's a little unlikely at this point, but he's kind of the name that most circulates. Obviously, a goalie with some decent pedigree, playoff pedigree, you know, short-term contracts, only 2 years, veteran. If you're an expansion franchise, if you can get another goalie, you know, number one, and you have the opportunity to get Anton Udobin, I don't think that's a bad number two to try and pick up. Even if it's a 1A, 1B kind of situation or whatever it may be, thinking Anton Udobin would at least be of some interest to the Seattle Kraken in the expansion draft. Like I said, whether he gets moved or not, I don't know. I think it's probably less likely now than it was maybe at the beginning of the season when we were first kind of having this conversation. But he was asked about it. This is from Matthew DeFranks on Twitter talking to Anton Udobin, and this is Anton Udobin talking about the expansion draft. You're just waiting and see what's going to happen. There's nothing I can tell you. I just had a couple meetings right now with coaching staff and Jim, talking about Jim Neal. What can I tell you? There's an expansion draft. Yes. What is it going to be? I don't know. I think he knows, right? I think as a player, these players are conscious of that. Their agents are conscious of the situation, and I'm sure that there's already some movement on the Anton Udobin, you know, agency front, and that because you know his spot's not guaranteed next year with this Dallas Stars team. We've talked about it. I think he's the outside guy looking in. You look at the Stars team, I think you write in Jake Ottinger as your number two goalie next year. Right? You're not sending him down. You're not trading him. He's your goalie of the future. He's ready to go. He's going to be one of your two goalies next season. So now you're choosing between Ben Bishop and Anton Udobin. You look at those two players and you look at their cap situations, and I think Anton Udobin's the guy that's on the kind of the outside looking in. Ben Bishop, first and foremost, has a modified no trade clause for next season. So a 10-team no trade list, so the Stars can't trade him. He has a modified no movement clause. So he's got a 10-team no trade list. So he's going to be tough to move right up front anyway. So if the Stars did want to move him, he's going to be tough to move. Add on to the fact he didn't play it all this season. He's dealt with significant injuries. He hasn't played really. I mean, he played, you know, he had that brief appearance in the postseason last year, but he hasn't really played since, what, March of 2020? And he's due just under $5 million next season and just under $5 million in 2022-23. He's already 34. I think from a value perspective, I think that's pretty low. So I don't see that he's moving on. You look at Anton Udobin, however, a little bit older. He's got a modified no trade clause. It's a 4-team no trade list, but that does not expand to expansion drafts. And he's only making $3.33 million this year, this coming season, 21-22, and the next season. So same timeline, cheaper cost, about $1.5 million lower in the cap hit per year, and easier to acquire. You've seen him more recently, and I think the Stars are going to be more, because the other thing is not just the value, on the trade surface, right? Where I think Ben Bishop is depressed a little bit to what he's going to be perceived value in the Stars organization, but I think there's also there's trade value to the Stars, there's trade value to whoever the trading team would be, and then there's value to the Stars if they are not traded. I think when you combine those factors, I think Anton Udobin has the better combination of trade value to the Stars, trade value to the team trading for. I think that's going to line up a little bit more, and I think there's more value to Ben Bishop still being here next year from the Dallas Stars perspective than Anton Udobin. The key for him is healthy. We know that. If Ben Bishop stays healthy, he is a better goaltender than Anton Udobin. Last time we saw him, he was a top five goalie in the NHL. Now, it's been a minute, but I think all those factors kind of contribute, and I think Anton Udobin's fully aware of that. So no secret there. Now, whether he goes in the expansion draft or whatever, I don't know. But I do think the Dallas Stars find a way to move on from him, whether it's a trade to a team that needs a number two, or even if Seattle goes and gets another goalie and then trades for Anton Udobin after the fact. I think Anton Udobin probably has played his last game for the Dallas Stars. I don't think that's big of a leap to conclusion. But more on Anton Udobin. He's talking about COVID too. Remember, he caught COVID at the beginning of the season. Really struggled with it. What reports there were some questions as to what were the lingering effects for all these players that would have dealt with COVID this season. And Matthew DeFranks, once again from the Dallas Morning News, has it on his Twitter feed. He said, "Yes, COVID caught me bad." I'm paraphrasing. He said, "Catch me bad. Let's be honest. I had it in November when I get back to Dallas. I didn't even have taste and smell. It catch me, but it's not an excuse. We're all professionals and could be better. Could be better finished than this." Talking about the finish to the season for the Dallas Stars. I think that's something significant to consider. I saw somewhere else reported that he didn't get his taste and smell back until recently. You know, he didn't. He was still dealing with the lingering effects of the COVID virus here over the past, in the past month or so, is how it kind of came across. So I think that's something to consider. How did that impact the Stars and not just him, but other players? We've heard him talk about it, but tons of other players dealt with it, right? The Stars were hit hard by COVID. I think that's an interesting kind of, that's another interesting variable that I think is kind of what you have to plug in when you're putting together the formula of how you're going to evaluate this season. I think that's another variable that you have to toss in there. Nice little math reference for all of you. Good thing Josh is no longer here. He would hate the math reference. Let's step aside real quick. We come back. We'll keep diving in. We got some comments about Jamie Benn from Jamie Benn. Got some comments from Miro Haskin. Got some comments on Jason Robertson. We'll dive into those right around the corner. Before we do, what is your favorite Built Bar flavor? My favorite flavor is one of the limited edition, the cookies and cream. They have those limited time, but one of my favorite of their regular 9 delicious flavors they have all the time, mint brownie. Phenomenal. If you don't like mint, I like the peanut butter brownie too. All these flavors are great though. They've got 9 flavors they always have: coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted, caramel. Then they've got those occasional limited edition flavors, limited time flavors, cookies and cream, some of the white chocolate stuff. Really, really good bars. They've got something for everybody. Most of these bars have 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. Some of the other flavors, a little bit more protein, a little bit more calories, but they're still under 200 calories, still talking about like 5 grams of net carbs. It's unbelievable. They're amazing flavors, 9 amazing flavors, all taste great. They're all healthy as well. You need to go try out Built Bar. If you haven't, go try it out. If you have, you know you like it, so go get some more. Keep diving into Built Bar. It's a great one to indulge and keep taking, if you're on a diet or you're trying to eat healthier, whatever it may be, these are what you need to turn to kind of satisfy that that dessert craving without breaking the, you know, breaking the eating plan. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your next order. Promo code LOCKED15, 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Also want to talk to you about Locker Room. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room, the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app's free to download. Once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I host Locker Rooms for Locked On Stars. We've been doing them Sunday afternoons, 4 o'clock. That's the plan right now as well. You can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every single day. Locker Room's the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You can find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to the latest news and the biggest rumors. You have a chance to chat with me. Might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Stars podcast through our Locker Room conversations. If you listen to, it was our Monday episode, we had a snippet from our Locker Room conversation as our final segment. We're talking about the MVP for the Dallas Stars. We'll dive into more of that later on. But if you have a great conversation, we always have great conversation on Locker Room, but you jump in there, you may get a chance to get your question or get your 2 cents featured here on the Locked On Stars podcast, the daily podcast format. Go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NHL group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Kenneth_Nash19 to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I'm planning to be live this week, Sunday, 4 p.m. Can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Dallas Stars. See you there, Locker Room. Changing the way that we talk sports. All right, back here at the Locked On Stars podcast. We'll start with Miro Heiskanen. We're kind of running through some of the snippets we got from Dallas Stars reporters. The Dallas Stars beat reporters are all unbelievable. Heike, Saad Youssef, Matthew DeFranks is who we were referencing earlier. Got some more great stuff talking about that as well. Matthew DeFranks still talking about him. He had a quote from Miro Heiskanen speaking about the length of his next contract. And he said, no, this is a quote. No, I haven't think about that a lot. We had lots of games and I was focusing on them. I haven't think about a lot of my contract, but I have time to think about it now. We'll see what happens. That is a big storyline for the Dallas Stars this offseason. One we're going to cover a lot. Miro Heiskanen's an RFA this year, this offseason. So the Dallas Stars are going to be looking to ink him to a long, long, long-term deal. And it's going to be a big bucks deal as well. The Dallas Stars absolutely are going to try to make Miro Heiskanen their face of the franchise, one of their cornerstone players for years to come. And so this is, you know, this is a storyline to follow. He's only 21. Obviously, he's established himself as one of the Dallas Stars' best players, one of the best young defensemen in the NHL. He's considered unanimously considered one of the top 10 or 15 players under 25 in the NHL. He's a superb, superb defenseman. Didn't quite have the offensive numbers I think we were hoping for this year, especially after we saw what we did in the postseason last year. And he talked about that a little bit too. Talked about that he thought his defensive game was good this year. Wasn't upset with his offensive numbers, but would like to challenge himself to be a little bit more creative in the offensive zone. But all that aside, he is one of the Dallas Stars' most important players. He was 27-point player this year in 55 games. He had a skated time on ice of just under 25 minutes. He's an incredibly important player for this team, not just now, but for the next 5, maybe 10 years. I think the length of this contract is going to be really, really interesting because we saw this past offseason, and we're going to, if I feel like I'm shorting you on this, we're going to talk about all this in depth over the next few weeks. But we saw over the offseason, right, we saw Roope Hintz, Dennis Gurianov sign those kind of those bridge contracts where they weren't really big numbers, but they were small term as well to get them to that next big contract transition out of their kind of their entry-level rookie deal into that bigger deal. I don't think that happens with with Miro Heiskanen. I don't think that happens because I think he's got some leverage, right? The Dallas Stars can't afford to let him leave. And they need, you know, he was their third overall pick a few years back. He's a cornerstone defenseman. He is their most talented young defenseman. The ceiling is the highest with him out of any of their players under 24, 25 years old. The ceiling's the highest with Miro Heiskanen. We all know that. I don't need to go on and on about that, but. And that being said, I don't see a bridge deal coming or anything like that, like you saw with Hanson Gurianov. I think you're going to get a substantial extension done. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what the dollar amount is. He's going to become one of the highest paid players on this team. But that term's also going to be interesting. You look at kind of like the Dallas Stars don't have any defensemen signed except for Esa Lindell signed after next season. Joel Hanley would still technically be under contract. But Klingberg's out of contract after next year. Alexiak's UFA this offseason. Vatanen's UFA this offseason. Andre Secker's UFA next offseason. Pesek's a UFA this offseason. And then Heiskanen's an RFA this offseason. So the Stars have to get some long-term defenseman group in there. And, you know, with the John Klingberg thing on the table, because, you know, the Stars are going to have to be planning how they're going to handle maybe trying to get him to sign a new contract or how they're, what they're going to do with that. It's going to be really, really interesting to see that dollar amount in that term. But I would expect a big time deal for Miro Heiskanen. He knows the Stars can't let him leave. And the Dallas Stars are fully aware that you don't just let a talent like that come into your organization and then turn around and let him leave without getting him tied up to for the significant portion of their career. So, you know, Heiskanen's probably a big storyline to watch. It feels small because it's kind of just a foregone conclusion. They're going to get something done. But I really am interested to see those numbers because not only do they keep Miro Heiskanen here, but they dictate what they're able to do next, you know, next offseason. The offseason after that, there's long-lasting effects to what they do with Miro Heiskanen, what kind of deal they give him. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how they approach it. John Klingberg, his contract was talked about too. He's eligible for an extension to his current deal this offseason. If you look at his current deal, expires after next season. He's making $4.25 million next year. He is extension eligible. And this is another Matthew DeFranks, who the GOAT, Matthew DeFranks, gotta love him. More quotes from him. Ever since he came into the league, he talks about that. Basically, he's been a Dallas Star for his entire career. He wants to be a Dallas Star for his entire career, but it has to be the right fit for his family and it has to be the right fit for the organization. He said, this is a quote, take it day by day, see where we're at. Klingberg's an interesting one, and he's one we're going to talk about a lot this offseason. If that number gets to a certain point, I think the Stars have to pull out, because I think you look at the money they've already got committed long-term. Esa Lindell at 5.8 for the next 4 years, including next year, the next 4 years. Tyler Seguin's making 9.85 for forever. Jamie Benn's making 9.5 through 24-25. Fax is making over 3 through 24-25. And then you start to look at some of the other guys that are going to come up for contracts by then. Radek Foxa is going to be, Roope Hintz, pardon me. Radek Foxa is 3.25. Roope Hintz is going to be an RFA in the 23-24 offseason. Dennis Gryanov's an RFA after next year. You look at Jason Dickinson, who's an RFA currently. There's a lot of these guys. Jason Robertson's an RFA in 22-23. There's a lot of these guys that are going to come up and start being due for money. And so where does John Klingberg fit in? Do the Stars commit to winning now by keeping John Klingberg and potentially have to, you know, let some of these other guys go? Or do they, you know, do they move on from John Klingberg? I said all year long, I don't think he's going to get traded. I think I would put the trade percentage just guessing at 20-30%. John Klingberg gets moved at this point. But I said during the regular season when he kind of came up as a trade deadline option, I didn't see anything happening until this offseason where the Stars could evaluate where they're at, could get their money kind of planned out a little bit more specifically with Heiskanen and those kind of guys. See where they're at, see what they're going to have over the next 4 or 5 years. Then they start to figure out how they're going to approach Klingberg. He's 28, still in the prime of his career. Had a pretty good season last year. I think he'd be an incredibly hot commodity if he made it to the trade block or anything like that. So, or if he made it to free agency, that is. So I think the Stars are going to look at an extension this offseason, but don't be surprised also if nothing gets done on that front, because they just kind of want to keep evaluating where they are. They're on that weird bubble of they should be contenders, but you miss the playoff this year. That window starts to kind of close next year. How do they kind of approach that, and how does that influence the decisions that they make moving forward? Let's step aside one more time. We come back. We're talking about Jason Robertson specifically, a little bit Jamie Benn too. Jamie Benn had some comments on Jason Robertson. Rick Bonus had some comments on Jamie Benn. We'll talk about that right around the corner. Before we do, want to talk to you about Wealthfront. Investing can be complicated. We know that. If you ever tried to get into investing, it's tough. It can be overwhelming at times. Whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They've got the right tools for every portfolio. There's decades of data that shows that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds aren't in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets. That's billion with a B, $20 billion of assets. You can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. Get started today. Also want to talk to you about Bet Online. It is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The playoffs are getting started here in the NHL. If the Stars are out of it, maybe you just want to make the playoffs a little bit interesting for yourself. Get in on the action. Bet Online. Head to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device. Check out the great sporting news, sign up bonuses, contest info. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, use your mobile device today to receive a 50% welcome bonus when you use promo code Locked On. It's promo code Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's end that last block, and I said it was going to be a shorter show, and here we are. We're starting the final kind of segment here, 21 minutes in. It actually has been a longer show than we've kind of talked about. First, let's talk about Jason Robertson. There were some teammates of his lobbying kind of for him to get the Calder. No surprise, you expect that. His teammates absolutely should be lobbying for him to win the Calder. He was a Calder-worthy player this season. But Jamie Benn had some comments. He talked about him. This is a quote. This is Saad Youssef from his Twitter account. This was on May 11th, so yesterday. When he came in, this is a direct quote. When he came in, and Saad's got in parentheses after early taxi squad demotion, he really changed our team. I think he should win the Calder. He had that good of a year. Jamie Benn talking about Jason Robertson. He absolutely had a Calder caliber year. I think I've talked about it over this week. I think Kirill Kaprizov's going to win it. I don't think there's any shame in losing to Kaprizov. He had a very, very good year. Exploded in the last like couple of weeks, and that kind of sealed it for him. And Robertson, you know, didn't really drop off, but didn't keep up with that kind of pace that Kaprizov did. And the Stars didn't make the playoffs. I don't think that should be held against Jason Robertson, but it tends to be held against players like this when they're talking about individual awards. It tends to be held against players when they don't make the playoffs. It's one thing, I think, when you're talking about MVP, like an MVP in a league, and it's hard for me to say you have an MVP on a team that didn't make the postseason. When you're talking about a Calder or a Rookie of the Year kind of thing, it's a different standard, I feel like. You're not saying this guy's one of the best in the NHL and carried his team. You're saying this guy was one of the best first-year players in the NHL. This guy was the best first-year player. So I don't think it should be held against Robertson, but I think it probably will be, especially since Kaprizov went to a Wild team that was kind of meh. And they made the postseason, albeit in, I think, a little bit of a weaker division, but they made the postseason, had a really good year. So, you know, it is what it is. No shame. I think Kaprizov is a very deserving winner of this trophy. I think Jason Robertson had a great year. Unfortunately, you're not going to see a whole lot of Wild fan be that gracious. It's really weird. If you go look at Wild Twitter, they've like started a campaign against Jason Robertson, and it's really, really weird. It's super weird because I don't think like Jason Robertson kind of lives rent free in their heads. And it's like, I don't think Kaprizov lives rent free in Dallas Stars fans' heads in the same way. I don't think Dallas Stars fans generally care. I mean, they want Robertson to win it, but they're kind of aware that Kaprizov is probably going to win it. And I don't think it's going to be that big a deal. Whatever. It was really weird. I saw some stuff on Twitter over the past couple of days. There's like unfounded attacks on Jason Robertson. It was like, what? Like the kid's 21 and had a 0.85 point per game season. And at 21 years old, out of nowhere, he was demoted at the beginning of the season and came back and put up those kind of numbers. Kind of weird. Whatever. But Tyler Seguin talked about Jason Robertson too. This is still from Saad Youssef of The Athletic. Seguin said that he drove Jason Robertson home when they would land from road trips. And he said, quote, "I kind of get 10 minutes with him each time. It's been fun picking his brain, seeing how much he's developed already, not only on the ice, but off the ice as well." That's a quote from Tyler Seguin. That's good to see. If you're a Stars fan, you want that kind of relationship. Seguin is now a vet on this team. I know we kind of, you know, Sagan's always kind of been the young gun. That's how he's just kind of his perception. But he's 29. He is a vet on this team. He's an alternate captain. He's got the biggest cap hit on the team. The Stars need leadership out of him. It seems like they're getting it. And Jason Robertson, man, this guy. Oh, I'm so excited to see Jason Robertson next year with a fully healthy forward group to mix and match and lighten the load. Oh man, it's going to be a ton of fun next year. I really think so. Last, real quick, we'll wrap up a couple more quotes. This is still from Saad. This is not a quote, but just talking about it. I'm quoting Saad here. Tyler Seguin said it took until the third period of his third game to really hit his stride. Was excited to keep it going, but the Nashville won, so he only got 20 minutes of that version of himself. Felt like he was his best in his third game. He, of course, only came back with 5 games to go. Didn't play in the final two after the Stars were eliminated from the postseason. And then one more thing to talk about real quick with Jamie Benn, Rick Bonus. Actually, two Rick Bonus things. We'll jump back to Miro Heiskanen, and this is a quote from Rick Bonus. His play was better than his numbers. I agree with that. Miro Heiskanen is not a flashy defenseman. He's incredibly skilled technically, but he's not a flashy defenseman. He's never going to be the gaudy numbers, and that's why you have to look a little bit deeper to what he can do. But I do think he was probably better than his numbers said this season. And then last thing from Rick Bonus on Jamie Benn, we talked about it a lot, him playing center this season and what would be the potential of that moving forward. At times, it looked like it would really be a plus for this team, especially since he's good on the faceoff. And Rick Bonus, quote, "We liked it. He liked it. Talking about Jamie Benn playing center, it is absolutely, the team's absolutely looking at that for next year. I think that's something to consider. And I think we start looking at next year and kind of building out the roster and the lineups and the starting lineups for next year. I think that's something to consider. How does it look with Jamie Benn not on the wing, but as a center iceman? We'll have to talk about that and have to look at that this offseason. That's going to do all for this episode. We'll be back tomorrow. More of this kind of just wrap-up talk, and then we're going to dive into our offseason content Monday, starting with what team you should root for in the postseason. Before we step aside today, though, if you want something else to listen to, go check out the Locked On Today podcast talking about when and where will the Oakland A's move. There's talk that the Oakland A's are leaving Oakland. That's the question of the day. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. That's good all for this one. Thank you for tuning in. Had a great episode. A lot of good exit interview stuff to kind of dive into. Keep diving into this. And we're in off-season mode a little earlier than we've been used to, especially on this show. We're diving into off-season mode. We're going to kick up mailbags again this off-season. I want to hear from y'all. We'll fire those up as well and probably tie that into locker room and the live in the regular podcast. So make sure to get those questions ready. I'll be calling for those here in the next few days. But that's good all for that one, this one. Thank you for tuning in. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Stars. You can follow my personal account as well at Kenneth_Nash19. Make sure to follow us wherever you listen to your podcast so we show up in your feed every single day. That's good all for this one. Thank you for tuning in. Have a good night.
Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.